This week, I reunited with an old friend, and I was really happy to connect with him. Hadn't met him for a while, and so very excited for the conversation, but the conversation was heavy. He struggled, and he expressed his struggle, he expressed his frustration, the bitterness that he felt in his heart, and here's why. You see, my friend tried to be a good person, a godly person. Tried to be the kind of person who always was looking out for others, wanted to be a good husband and a good father in his life to take care of his family. The kind of person who would let you go in front of him in line at the grocery store so you could get on with your day. He would give that up. He would park in the back of the parking lot so that other people could have the spots that are towards the front. Kind of person who wanted to make a positive impact on his family, his wife, his kids, his coworkers, everyone around him, really the entire world around him. He wanted to make a positive impact, but he was frustrated because he questioned whether it made any difference. Whether all of that work and that effort and that energy that he was pouring into being good, serving others, whether any of that mattered, whether it made an impact at all. Because he told me he looked out at the world around him and he saw many people who were not kind, they were not compassionate, they were not generous the way he was, they didn't look out for others, in fact, they were arrogant. They were selfish. They were vile and violent. And they didn't seem to struggle. And so he wondered, where are their challenges? Where are their struggles? The ones that I'm feeling, why aren't they feeling them? And that bitterness grew in his heart. It seemed like they just continued to amass more and more. More fame, more fortune, more money, more possessions, more followers, more friends, more. And so he was frustrated. Would you have any advice to give my friend? Would you have any wisdom to share with him? Or would you, like me, have nodded your head right along with every single thing he was saying? Because you feel it too. And we have a name for that feeling. It's envy. Now, envy is that frustration, that resentment that you feel, that bitterness when you see the success and the blessings of others. Sometimes envy is going to show itself even in the happiness or the joy that you take when others actually fail and they fall. And if you're taking notes this morning, I just want to share this with you. Envy gains easy entrance into our hearts. Envy gains easy entrance. There's so much over which we can be envious. Maybe you envy that big, beautiful truck that your neighbor drives into his garage, of this massive home that he owns. And maybe you envy the slick, streamlined boat that he tows behind that truck. But it's not just possessions, right? Well, we can envy other things. We can envy the success that we see in someone else, how they have found themselves at the top of the corporation or their fame or their popularity in school. They have all the friendships. We can envy those. And we see how other people are so quick to connect It's so easy for them to build relationships, to form those friendships, and maybe you feel that bitterness as you look at them and you see them laugh and smile in those conversations, and you wish you could laugh and smile like that. But those relationships aren't as easy for you. It's harder for you to connect with the people that you're around all the time. You have family? Have you ever become envious of another couple's children because you haven't been blessed that way? You and your spouse, you're still waiting for that blessing? Or maybe you're even just waiting for the blessing of a spouse. You don't have that deepest of relationships, that person to be your partner throughout life together with you. Maybe that causes envy. Or do you wish that you had the loving father or the supportive mother that you see someone else has? And you wonder where that's been in your life. And envy is just proliferated by our social media, right? Followers, likes, hearts, emojis that our posts can gain. And this isn't a rant on our society, but on our own souls. Because envy gains easy entrance. And the thing is that envy accomplishes absolutely nothing. And you think about that. There isn't even sinful pleasure in envy. Envy just makes you feel terrible. It doesn't accomplish anything. So what does the wisdom of our God, the wisdom that he's going to provide for us in Proverbs, what is the wisdom that God wants to share with us when it comes to envy? And the wisdom says this: don't. Wisdom says don't envy. Proverbs 23, verse 17, do not let your heart envy sinners. Don't do it. And the thing tells you just eliminate envy. Because there is nothing that envy accomplishes. Envy drains you of joy. Frustration, anxiety, depression, all of these can flow from envy, and it's universal. Everyone in our world feels it. Everyone in our world knows that it's bad, that it doesn't accomplish anything, and yet we don't have a solution. No one has a solution. My dear friends, Proverbs does provide a solution. The wisdom of Proverbs doesn't just say don't, but it also provides an alternative. The solution for envy is worship. And Proverbs says, do not let your heart envy sinners. It says this, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. The solution to envy is worship. The word for envy and for zeal in the Hebrew are actually the same exact word. It's a word that talks about expending energy. What do you put your energy and your effort into? And so Proverbs encourages us to pour our energy into worship. The worship of your God. Proverbs leads you to lean into worship, to lean into thanksgiving. This worship and thanksgiving that recognizes that every single thing that you have, every single blessing in your life, it comes to you from the hand of your God. So that you can go home today, and as you walk through your home, you can lean into worship and give thanks to God for the walls of that home. Even if they're scuffed up and dirty and cracked in places. You can give thanksgiving to God. You can lean into worship that there is a roof that is over your head, even if that roof sometimes leaks when it rains really, really hard. the next time you see your kids. Give thanks and praise to God for the incredible blessing that they are. Yes, they tire you out. There are a lot of work and effort and time that you give up, but such blessings even when you're exhausted. And when you have that friend that you can connect with, and after years of not seeing each other, but still you can pick up the conversation just like it was yesterday that you last saw each other, then give thanks to God for providing that blessing in your life. And if you don't have a friend like that, if you struggle to connect and build relationships and find friends, lean into worship as you thank God, the very God who says, I am your friend, who has called you friend, who invites you to speak to him whenever. Lean into worship. You know, sometimes we're envious of other people's bodies, right? Their physical appearance, the frame and the structure that they have, the curves, the muscular tone, the chiseled jaw, whatever it might be, we can become envious of that too. So Proverbs says, lean into worship. Give thanks and praise to your God for your body. Yes, even if your nose is a little crooked and your ears are a little bit big. Because God gave you that body. He made you and he made that body well for you. We could be envious of people's health. When it seems that they can go through life, when they haven't extended the notch on their belt since college, when they don't have to go through the struggles, we can be envious of that. And Proverbs tells you, lean into worship for your health. For every day you breathe, even the aches and the pains that you feel, even when you have weekly doctor's appointments that you have to go to, thank and praise God for your health. Worship. Lean into worship, and dear friends, sometimes your heart and your mind is not going to want to do that. It's not going to want to worship your God, and you may have to compel your heart to worship. Which is exactly what my friend discovered. He was deeply troubled until he entered the sanctuary of the Lord. You see, my friend, his name is Asaph. And this conversation that I'm telling you about, it's a real conversation, but it's one that was inspired by God and yet also Asaph's own words. And I met Asaph in the Bible. He's the author of Psalm 73. And when he envied others, he had to discover this solution that Proverbs offers us. And he said this, he said, when I tried to understand all of this, it troubled me deeply till I entered the sanctuary of God. A solution for envy that is worship is that worship that enters into the presence of God, and there God meets us. Asaph was reminded of a far bigger, far better reality about his circumstances and about your circumstances too. We're reminded of this when we remember Jesus' cross. Because Jesus' cross, that was your place. That was your position. To be completely cut off from the God of all good, to be abandoned and forsaken by your heavenly Father, to be under his severest punishment and wrath. That was your place, that was your position, a position of which no one would be envious except Jesus. But it wasn't envy, it was zeal. Zeal, pouring his energy into the fear of the Lord, pouring his energy into obedience to God, pouring his energy into you to take your place there on that cross. And I don't remind you of that to shame you, No, dear friends, I say that to set you free from envy, to eliminate envy as you recognize all that is yours because of what your Savior Jesus has done for you, to rejoice in the blessings of forgiveness in his name, full and complete, to remind you of every reason that you have to lean into worship, even if you don't feel it. Because of Jesus and because of his cross, you know that the words of Proverbs are true. And Proverbs tells you there is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Your future hope is Jesus. We sang that very thing this morning as we began our worship. In Christ alone, my hope is found. In Christ alone. That means that we don't find our hope in anything else that this world offers. Nothing else. Just Christ. In Christ alone, your hope is found. And did you notice that all of those things of which we can become envious, all of the things that we might see in others and other people, none of them last. None of them endure. Not when you put them into the perspective of eternity. Every single one of those will be cut off. Your possessions, all the stuff you have, it'll break. It'll rip, it'll tear, it'll fade, it will spoil. Your money is going to be absolutely 100% worthless and useless to you the very moment you die. Completely useless. Your looks, those aren't going to last. Even the most gorgeous of supermodels eventually is going to become victim to the effects of age. And you can hold on to your health. You can fight. You can struggle. You can strength train. You can take medication. You can do whatever you want to extend your life. But eventually, that too will fail. It'll fade. It'll become weak. But your hope in Jesus, Jesus never fades. Jesus never fails. The hope that you have in Jesus, it is secure, Proverbs says. It will not break. And so Proverbs leads you to live a life for the after. Live life for the after. Live right now for what's next. Your hope, your future. And so as you consider everything that is in this world, who's up, who's down, who's winning, who's losing, who's on top, who's on the bottom, everything else that you consider in this world, consider it in the perspective of what's next, the perspective of eternity, the future. I'm not talking about next year or next decade or 30 or 40 years from now, but 1,000 years from now, 10,000 years from now. 10,000 years from now, are you going to give a rip that your neighbor parked a Maserati in his driveway? When you are riding down the streets of shining gold in the chariots of heaven? 10,000 years from now, are you going to remember your son's high school batting average? When Christ has made him perfect and complete and whole, and has invited him into the fields of heaven where there is everlasting celebration? 10,000 years from now, are you going to give any thought whatsoever to that selfie that you took, and it took you 9 times because you needed to get the lighting just right on your lips. When you yourself stand before the Lamb of God, your Savior, and your entire being, your entire face is lit up by the radiance of His glory, and He has given you a glorified body too. 10,000 years from now, are you going to celebrate how many sales deals you closed, how many contracts you brokered, how many millions of dollars you manage in a portfolio? When you are enjoying the everlasting inheritance that is yours in Christ, and you are dwelling in the mansion that Jesus Himself has prepared for you. Could a life lived with a perspective on the after, could that help us to eliminate our envy? Because the good news of Jesus assures you that all this is yours. That your hope will not be cut off. And this gives you reason to lean into worship, to pour yourself into worship. And so as you think about what does that mean for living life now, I want to talk directly to a few of you, wives and mothers. Now, what would happen if you just you stop pouring so much time and effort into completely filling up that unbalanced schedule in order to give your children every single experience they could possibly have as they grow up? And what if you made sure that there was time for you and them to experience God's grace together? Husbands and dads, what if you took that energy and that effort that you pour into and all the finances that you pour into the brick and stone of your house, and you poured some of that into constructing the kingdom of God? What if you took all that energy that you poured into your career and you poured it into your heart and into labor and service for that kingdom? Young men, high school, middle school, what if you took some of that effort and that energy that you pour into athletics and training and being the comic relief for your classmates so that you gain their admiration and appreciation? What if you poured some of that energy and effort into remembering the honor that God has given you, and you strove to become a godly leader for those younger than you? And young ladies, if I could just have your ear for a moment. What if you took all that effort and all that energy that you pour into your image and your look, your social status, and what if you poured that into the thought of thanksgiving to your God for the way that He imbues His own glory in how He has created you? That He names you a daughter of the King. And my prayer for all of that is that you would find more peace, more calm, more joy in the life God has given you as we strive together to eliminate envy. I meant what I said to you when I started, that I reunited with an old friend. Because Asaph really is my friend. Even though we've never met in person, even though we've met through the words of God, he's my friend because I feel the very same things that he feels. And envy enters my heart the very same way that it entered his. There are moments in my life when my feet have almost slipped, when I've struggled to hold on to my faith. But I have another friend, and so do you. And his name is Jesus. And you can reunite with him in his word as well. His simple word that gives you these magnificent gifts. And through that word, Jesus reminds you there is surely a future hope for you. And your hope will not be cut off. The writer of Proverbs learned it. And Asaph learned it. And I pray that you and I, that we can learn it too. I pray that you and I, that we can eliminate envy as we live a life zealous for the Lord. Amen?